Ready for God's word today. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 is where we're going to be starting today. We're going to be talking about this wonderful phrase that you might have heard in the Christian life. Different songs have been written using this phrase. It's a hopeful phrase. It's language that we love to use in the Christian life. The phrase is, all things made new. God makes all things new. And that's what we're going to be chatting about today. You know, we are always anticipating something new. Always anticipating something new. I don't know about you, but I'm always thinking about the future. It just seems to be what human beings do. You know, we don't live long in the present. If you can think back when you were a kid and you were playing and imagining about different things to play about, I guess. I'm trying to find the right words. I'm trying to imagine back when I was a kid, I would dress up often like a fireman. My brother would like to dress up like an adventurer, like Indiana Jones. He had the hat and everything. My sister wanted to be a pop singer. Now, when we were playing these games, none of us imagined. I did not imagine being a fire boy. I didn't imagine myself as I'm out in the wildernesses of Invermere, wandering around my neighborhood, imagining that I was like 7 years old trying to fight fires or trying to rescue someone by putting them over my back and coming down a ladder. I always imagined my future self, right? Is that kind of what we do? We imagine our future self. I don't know what happens. Ken, what happens when you become really, really old? I'm just hypothetically. Do you start dreaming, you know, that you imagine yourself as a kid? Just kind of learn to live with it. You imagine, you know, now you're a fireman, but you're still fighting fires in your head. Like, it's still, okay, we'll talk about that later over coffee. We spend a lot of time imagining the future. You know, we're working so hard planning events. Already in church life, we're planning events for the fall. I've been working on some Easter scheduling, believe it or not, which is just wild to think about. But you know, once the event arrives, as soon as the event arrives, we're there just for a moment and we're already planning the next event. If you knew how a pastor's schedule worked, it worked something like this. You plan and plan and plan for Sunday. You preach a sermon. You go home. You write your resignation letter because you're depressed. And then Monday morning comes and you feel all affirmed again and you start writing your sermon because you're planning the next Sunday. You're always planning the next Sunday, always planning the next Sunday. We are future thinking. That's just kind of what humans do. It's the experience that excites us. When I grow up, I want to become this. One day I will grow up and one day I will become, well, I'm sure we're all still waiting to grow up, aren't we? And how many of us know that we're still waiting to experience what we want to be when we grow up? Dallas Willard said, we humans think about the future as naturally as we breathe. Always thinking, what are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing next week? What are we doing? We're looking for something new. In fact, the exact words that Dallas Willard says, he says the human mind must have some picture of the future. We just have to have it. In fact, if we're not future thinking, we probably get discouraged and depressed. Or if we're looking at the future and we're going, I can't see the future, we're probably becoming less than in a way because of discouragement or a cloudiness that's coming over us. And so the question that I have for all of us today is, what is your picture of the future? What is your picture of the future? What do you dream of when you think of the future? I know for me, there's still lots of things that I want to accomplish, lots of new things. I want to write a book. I want to go get my doctorate degree someday. I'd love to write some worship songs. I'd like to finally figure out how to dance, not like a Norwegian, but like a real dancer. I'd love to figure out how to actually own a dog that really looks like a dog. We've got these funny, ugly things at home that I'm sure God loves, but I'd love a real dog. There are things that I'd like to do and I'd like to accomplish. I'm still anticipating what God has in my life. In fact, I'm still anticipating what God has in store for us as a church. I still am anticipating us being this community where we make lifelong disciples, that when you walk into this place on a Sunday morning or throughout the week, there is a buzz around this place. There is a life to be had. One of our values is being joyfully Spirit-filled, that there's a joy and a laughter around this community. I still anticipate a community that's still making inroads into the rest of the community, that we are culture-making, that we're filling voids in society where no one is making a difference. Well, the church can come in and we can make that difference. I still dream of that. I still believe in seeing this house full. I still believe in seeing everyone in a small group and everybody having a connection and everybody having a friend. I anticipate a future where Emmanuel Church is still being creatively on mission. We're continuing to send people out. We're continuing to be people who are on mission, spreading out the kingdom of God, not just here in the Okanagan, but out and around the world. I'm still anticipating a future for Emmanuel that is bright and glorious and new. Whatever the future looks like, the scriptures remind us that God is up to something new. Something new for ancient Israel. Something new for the people of God through the centuries, and something new for us today. Something new to look forward to in the future. So let's look at this passage together. Chapter 43, verses 16 and 21. Isaiah chapter 43, 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. What an encouraging vision of what God is up to in the people of God. Verses 18 to 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. The background to this passage is historical Israel is in exile. They've been captured by the Babylonians. In fact, pulled from their homes, and they've been taken to a foreign land, and they have been in despair. They've been in a place where they don't feel like they have a land. Perhaps they aren't even sure if they have a people group anymore. They've been immersed into a foreign territory. They've been pushed into a culture that's no longer theirs. And so they're in this captured Babylon, and yet Israel is still deeply grounded in this ancient memory of God. There's still the stories being told. Remember when God did this. Remember when God did that. Remember when God rescued us from Egypt, from another culture that had taken us over. Do you remember the Red Sea? Do you remember when we escaped the armies of Pharaoh? Do you remember where we headed off into the wilderness and God provided manna and God provided meat and God provided a way forward towards a promised land? Do you remember that? The former things then seem to speak of this Exodus. Some theologians believe that this former things is talking about perhaps all the wrestling that the people of Israel had to go through in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah. I would think I'd err on the side of saying that this is probably talking about the past Israel experiences, because the language just sounds so familiar to the book of Exodus, where the people escaped from Egypt. Regardless, we are getting this list of ancient miracles that show that God has always been a primary actor amongst his people and in their history. He's always been part of it. In the good times and the bad times and the stretching time, God was always part of the story. He was always part of the history, and he was walking with them. He's saying, that's what the former things are. He's saying, forget the past right now. I want you to know that I'm doing a new thing. And what is being made new in the passage? Well, there's a new reality that God says is in store. Here's a new reality. I'm making a new path. In verse 19, it says, I'm making a way in the wilderness. There's a new path. There's a new direction that I'm going to take you on. And then he says that there's new sources of life. He talks about in the same verse, there's streams in the wasteland. I'm going to give you water. I'm going to help you if you're thirsty. I'm going to help quench your soul that feels so dry in this foreign land. So what is made new in the passage is you've got a new direction in life. You've got a new source of energy. You've got a new way of thinking about life. There's a new way of living that God has in store for these people that are held captive. So let's reflect on that just for a couple of moments here on a Sunday morning in August. A few reflections. I want to reflect on some things about new things. This might feel a little bit like Dr. Seuss a little bit, but you have to work with me. Some things about new things. So four things I'd like to chat about some things about talk about new things. Number one, a new thing is not unlike the old thing. A new thing is not unlike the old thing. God had always been up to new things. He was up to a new thing back in Exodus where the people were moaning and groaning, saying, please deliver us, oh God, from slavery. And God said, I'll do a new thing. And he rescued them from slavery. And here he is again, preparing to perform a massive miracle that transforms all of life, all of creation, just like in Exodus. What, just like the old thing. Yeah, but I'm doing a new thing, God says. Sometimes blessings are the ones that we've experienced before. How many times over the years have you prayed, oh God, please help me find a new job? How many times, and then I saw some people looking at each other, yes, a lot of times, or we're still praying for that new job. How many times do you say, oh Lord, just you need to help me over this hurdle. I just don't know if I can get through. How many times have you prayed, oh Lord, just give me wisdom and guidance when I'm at work. I'm not quite sure how to solve this situation. God is with us. God continues to bless us. God continues to answer prayers. This is kind of old hat for him. This is what he does. And yet we always go back to him and we say, God, do a new thing. God, do it again. God, make it happen again. And he says, yes, I can do a new thing. I can make this happen again. And you know what? Crisis tends to repeat itself. So when you think of old things, you think of crises, you think of times where the people were in exile, the people of Israel were in exile in Egypt, and then guess what happens? They're in exile again in Babylon, and you see some of this repeated history. Crises tend to continue to repeat themselves. I think of the book of Judges. If you're familiar with the book of Judges in the Old Testament, you see this pattern that takes place. The people of Israel are now in the promised land, but they forget their God. They start to worship other gods. This leads to all sorts of consequences where other foreign armies come in and take over the land. The people cry out to God, and God comes and brings a hero and rescues them. And then the people goes, this is wonderful. Thank you, God. And then they have peace in the land, and then they forget about God, and they worship other idols, and then it starts on its way again. So there's something very similar between the old thing and the new thing. A new thing is not unlike the old thing. God's new thing in our lives are not unlike the old things he has done because that's his character. He always comes through. He keeps doing new things. This is old hat for him. He's still redeeming lives. He's still redeeming hearts and families and relationships and worldviews. Every Sunday, we often work as pastors between people that are discouraged and looking for hope and looking to remove the barriers that are getting in the way of living their abundant life. And every Sunday, we're dealing with people saying, I found new life, and I'm excited about what God is up to, because God is up to something new. So number one, a new thing is not unlike the old thing. Number two, a new thing can't be understood apart from the old thing. A new thing can't be understood apart from the old thing. It's hard to recognize where God is taking us if we don't recall what he has taken us out of. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what I'm saying, let's go to that popular hymn called Amazing Grace. It uses that language. It talks about testimony. It talks about story. I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was blind, but now I see. Yes, you know the song. That's great. You see this, you see this. This is old way, this is the new way. This is the old way, this is the new way. It's hard to celebrate the new way if you don't know where you came from. If you don't know what you were in before. It's okay to remember where we came from. In church life, we use the language, how we describe this, we call it testimony. Story, our story, what God has been up to in our life. I love testimonies. I love hearing stories. And the best stories are those where the reward or the win is only exciting because of the obstacle that the person had to go through. Rewards are wonderful without obstacles. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing like walking down the sidewalk and coming across a $100 bill. Wow, I didn't do anything. There it is. Now, of course, if it was, you know, right behind somebody that was dropping $100 bills without them knowing, there's a moral issue there, of course. But the idea of going, I fought, or I wrestled, or I tried, or against all odds, this happened. Reward hit. A win took place. A redemption, a salvation, I was rescued took place. It's coming out of that, remembering where you were from is so much more exciting. It makes the reward so much more exciting. I love hearing stories. We need to remember where we came from. It humbles us. It also reminds us, I'm sure you've heard that line that says there's a danger of forgetting the past. If you forget the past, you are likely to repeat the same mistakes, correct? You got to remember where you've come from. And in the passage, you'll see in verse 21, it uses this language, I will give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself. This is the language of the potter. Forming lives, forming people into the people that he'd have them to be. It's the metaphor of the potter. We are actually formed by our experiences because of what God's active role is in our life. We can face with confidence all of the troubles of life because God is forming us by our experiences. Even the experiences when we are, our choices are actually the cause of it all. That it's our choices itself that led to some of the problems that we find ourselves in. We can still have the confidence that mighty God is forming his people. He's saying, yes, there's a new thing. Remember that old thing? I'm taking you away from the old thing and I'm giving you a new thing. So the old thing and the new thing are kind of well connected. Number three, you can't stay living in the old thing. You can't stay there. The passage says, forget the former things, forget them. Sometimes even in the midst of God doing a new thing, we prefer to stick to the memories of the old thing. The people of Israel, way back in the story of the Exodus, as they were rescued from Pharaoh and they were off into the wilderness and off to the promised land, they rejoiced for a little bit. That was wonderful. Thank you, God, for doing a new thing. It was wonderful. Thank you, God. Victory, salvation, hallelujah. We're hungry and we're tired. And we're thirsty. Where are you, God? The complaint started right away. Oh, and then they start to moan a little bit, going, oh, it was so much better back in captivity. They start talking about the melons of Egypt, the great food. Don't you remember the great food in Egypt? It was so much better in Egypt. It was so good. And Moses, who is leading the people out of slavery, says, no, it wasn't. It was not good. You had chains on while you were eating that melon. Don't you remember? Those were not the best days. You see, when you stay living in the old thing, you can lose the ability to expect anything really new from God. We stop to expect that God is up to something new in our lives. The Christian life for us can become routine. Learning never includes practice. It's just, we'll stick to learning. let's just learn some more things, but we don't have to practice this. We don't want to get stretched in this Christian way of living. You know, I'm happy with the routines. I'm happy with just living it out. Israel can't just pretend the past didn't happen. Of course it happened. And now they have to wrestle with their present. But there's hope for the future. And that's why they can't stay in the past. The past can teach us. The past can illustrate life for us. But it must not bind us. It must not hold us captive. Because the fourth reflection is the biblical faith that we read about in Scripture is geared to future new things. We don't live in the ancient memory. We live in the new reality. We get our mind off of the old thing in order to focus on the new. For God is doing something new now, right in the present, and is always in the business of future planning. He has things in store for those that love him. He is doing a new thing. We see this in the book of Revelation. We sang about words that were written in Revelation earlier. Revelation chapter 21, 3-7. This is the last book of the Bible. And here, the book of Revelation is this big vision by John, the disciple or apostle, where he's seeing this vision of how things are going to be at the end of time. In verse 3 of chapter 21, he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," this is part of his vision. He says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." That sounds like familiar language right out of Isaiah. Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." God continues to be making all things new. He makes all things new. He makes a new business. He's in the business of making new things, I should say. What are some of the new things that he's up to? He's planning to dwell amongst us. Emmanuel means God with us. He's up to being the healer of pain and of mourning and death. He's up to making sure that the old order is passed away. He says in verse 5 of Revelation 21, "For I am making everything new. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." This is our hope. We have the hope that there is something more to come. There's continuing more life to be had. This is our motto at Emmanuel Church. There is more to life. There's more. There's more than what we're experiencing. There's more available to us. There's more that comes from our Heavenly Father who wants to bestow his great gifts upon us. The biblical story ends with a beginning. I find that fascinating. I read this passage right out at the end of Revelation. Chapter 21, it was right near the end. You get this language of creation in Genesis, which says at the beginning, back in Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And here at the end of Revelation, we see that God is creating a new heaven and earth. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth had passed away." There's a remaking of reality going on there. God is remaking reality. Tom Wright, the theologian, Anglican bishop from England, he says, "The Christian life is about practicing what we will be doing on a regular basis in the future. What we get a glimpse of now is something that will be routine in the future. We get a glimpse of life now, and we can practice that life and that restorative life now. because we're practicing what God brings, all things new in the future. We believe that there is more to life, and we have the hope that it will be fully realized when all things are made new. So let me say it one more time. No, I'll say it a few more times. God is up to something new. And if I was to encourage you today, the question I'd ask you is, are you paying attention? Are you noticing? The passage we read today out of Isaiah 43, it says, now it springs up, this new thing that God is doing. Now it springs up. And then the next phrase after that, it says, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Do you not see what God is up to? Do you not see the life that he's bringing, the new thing that he's bringing? When we give our lives into the hands of God, we are in good hands. It's like the old chorus that we used to sing, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. God is up to something new. We saw it this morning. The Spolstras are up to something new. This is something very new to their life. The old things are now gone. It feels not that long ago. But God is up to something new in your life. He's up to something new. We see that with Cal and Chrissy. This is their last Sunday with us. They're heading off to Montreal, starting the journey next week, the slow journey to Montreal. God is up to something new. He's continuing to call. He's continuing to send. He's continuing to say, I've got something new in store for the Cron family. We see this in other members of our staff. We see Tom and Val Harbor preparing in a month from now to also head out to Quebec for a year of learning the culture and coming back and starting Francophone ministry here in the Okanagan. God is up to something new in their lives. And God is up to something new in your life. When we have the baptism next week, there are people that are coming forward. And by the way, there's going to be a baptismal class next Sunday, I believe at 9:30 a.m., and even if that's not correct, it is now, 9:30 a.m., hunt down Tom Harbor. He'll be talking. Anybody that's going to be baptized next week, don't forget, there's a baptismal class next Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Those that are being baptized, whether they've been a Christian a long time and now they say, I just want to make this statement of faith, or whether they just became new Christians to the faith in just the last few weeks, whether it was at summer camp or whether there was an experience on a Sunday morning or a coffee shop or somewhere where they realize that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is life, something new is going to take place next week. It's coming. God is up to something new. So what is your picture of the future? How do you see the future? Is God up to something good in your life? Have you stayed living in the old thing? Have you been in that place where it's like, no, same old, same old. This is just how I live out my life. It's just a Christian way of living. Just same old. I'm just going to stick in my old way of doing things and my old life. Have you stayed living in the old thing? You can't stay there. Got to continue to embrace what God is up to. Now, another question, though, would be, have you stopped expecting anything new from God? That's a bit of a difficult question. Have you been in the routines of this life? Well, you're just not sure that God will really do something new in your life. I don't know, Jeff. I've heard the spiel before. I've heard that God's up to something new, but you know, same time next week, we'll gather again, right? We're going to do this again, right? God is up to something new. Has he been up to something new in your life? And have you stopped expecting anything new from God? Do you believe God can do a new thing in your life? And here's a question for us all. What do you need God's Holy Spirit to make new in your life? Maybe you hear these words this morning going, Jeff, I need new life. I need God to do something new in my life. Would you ask the Holy Spirit this morning, please reveal to me your newness in my life? Would you ask Almighty God to say, oh God, make this new? this thing I'm dealing with in my family, make it new, O Lord. This wrestling of the faith that I'm going through, make it new, O Lord. The struggles that I'm having from my past that continue to eat at me and eat at my mind and eat at my heart. Oh God, make it new. I encourage you this morning, present yourself to God's Holy Spirit. Say, oh God, make this new. I encourage you, as you're preparing your hearts, even in the time of summer, even in the times of holidays and leisure and rest, I encourage you to say, oh God, do something new. Build something new in my life. Build something new in our church. Continue to do what you do best. You do new things. Oh God, do something new in my life. Do something new in my friend's life. Do something new in my family's life. As we sing, let us have that heart's cry this morning. Lord, do something new. Do something new. Let's stand. And I'm going to pray. I'm actually going to ask altar workers to come forward at this time as well. If you'll need prayer today, I encourage you to come to the front and pray with one of the altar workers. Or you can just pray on your own saying, oh God, I need something new in my life. Friends, this world needs a hopeful future. And it's time for us to get out of our doldrums. It's time for us to get out of our boredom. It's time for us to stretch our imaginations. It's time for us to get out of our life-sapping routines, out of our digital habits, out of our grumpy pants opinions. It's time to say, oh God, I want something new. Come out tonight to this service and say, oh God, I want something new in West Kelowna. Come this morning to the altar and say, oh God, I want something new. Jesus, do something new in my life. Our Heavenly Father, do something new in my life. Holy Spirit of God, awaken me to what you are up to in this world. Help me to pay attention that there's a God who is living and breathing and moving and has my life in his hands. He is working out his plans and we get to be a part of it. I get to be a part of it. Oh God, allow a newness to come forth this morning. Allow a newness to come forth in our lives. Oh God, be up to something new today in our church, new in our lives, new in our families, new in our communities. Lord, we invite you in to something new today. In Jesus' name, amen.